Hi, my name is Yayuan Su. Today I'm going to talk about automatically generate predicates and solutions from traces of user troubleshooting misconfigurations. This is joint work with my advisor, Jason Flint, from the University of Michigan. We all have the experience of troubleshooting misconfiguration. When our computer does not work the way we want it to, we have to debug the configuration. So sometimes we have to edit the configuration file to turn on an option, and sometimes we install a new library to resolve a library dependency, or we change environment variables. This is an iterative trial and error process, and it's often very frustrating and tedious. Fortunately, the research community heard our voice. So people have created automatically troubleshooting tools that make troubleshooting easier. Chronos was developed by researchers from the University of Washington, which they can find when a misconfiguration was introduced so that the user can diff the state and find the error. Autobatch is our previous work, which can automatically try to find solutions that can solve users' configuration problem. Both Chronos and Autobatch assume that their predicates exist, and Autobatch also assumes that solutions exist. So what is a predicate? So predicates are test cases that can test if an application works or not. If the application is working correctly, it returns true. Otherwise, it returns false. For example, if you want to test if an Apache web server works or not, a very intuitive predicate would be try to download the web page from the web server. In Autobatch and Chronos, they both rely on human experts manually write predicates. So this approach requires expert time and domain knowledge, and thus make them not very practical to deploy. In this work, we like to answer the question, can we automatically generate predicates? So some of the existing approaches to automatically generate test cases and solutions come from, for example, software testing community. If given program source code or program specification, the automatically test case generation tools can generate these test cases. Previous work from Microsoft Research, Peer Pressure, and Strider, if you're given a golden state, which is either a pass good state or a massive number of computers configuration state, they can use it as a reference, and that can be a solution for a misconfigured computer. The insight for this work is that users and system administrators already have to troubleshoot misconfigurations. So if we can leverage this existing work and then extract the predicates and solutions, other users can benefit from these expert users' effort. Here's an overview of our approach. So when a system administrator wants to troubleshoot a configuration problem, she can invoke our modified shell and then troubleshoot as usual. And after she exits the shell, our modified shell will tell her that, oh, you use command A and B to test this application. So this is a predicate. And a certain output means that this predicate succeeds, and a certain output means predicate fails. And also, you use command D to be the solution. So other than these, there might be a lot of commands that don't fall into these two categories. Then our modified shell will just say nothing about these commands. So we have three design goals. Our first design goal is to minimize false positives. Since we're inferring users on which command they use to test, so it's very difficult to be 100% accurate. In our case, we want to minimize false positive. So false positive means that we generate a wrong predicate which the user did not use. And this is often worse than a false negative, which is the user used a command to test, but we did not find it. Because false positive will lead Chronos to either find a wrong time or may trick Autobatch to apply a wrong solution. So we're going to make up the, because we want to minimize false positives, so we might generate fewer predicates, we're going to make up by aggregating among multiple user traces. Our second design goal is to be as unobtrusive as possible. We understand that troubleshooting is already a very frustrating and tedious process. We do not want to add more burden to the user to ask them to input more than they have to. So all the user have to do is to invoke our modify shell. Our last design goal is to generate complete predicates. So in some scenarios, the user might have to include multiple steps to create this test case to test their application. So we want our approach to include all the steps, because missing any step will make the predicates always return the wrong result and become useless. So to minimize false positive, we observe how users are troubleshoot. So one common pattern we find that is users often will test the system multiple times, maybe once to recreate the symptom, and each time after they apply a possible solution. Also, users often rely on some visible output for them to determine if a command fails or succeed. So we're going to generate predicates which follow this pattern. If the gray area means the system was not working, and at some point it transitioned to system working, when the user executed a command to test, when it was in the gray area, the output would tell the user that, oh, your predicate fails. But when the same command was executed again when system was working, the output should be qualitatively different when the system was not working. Therefore, the user knows that one means predicate succeeds and one means predicate fails. So following this pattern, we're going to look for repeated commands that differ in more than 2 out of 3 output features. So this output feature helps us to capture that qualitative difference between the execution. We'll look at 3 output features in this work. The first one is exit code. That is, the return value a process returns to the shell. The second is if the screen output contains error message or not. The third output feature is output set. That is, the set of kernel object a command modifies. So before I tell you an example of how this approach works, I'm going to digress a little bit and tell you about how we track output sets. So as I said, output set captures the kernel object a command causally affects. So if the user executes a command echo hi into a file foo to create a new file, first in the output set of this command, we have the process that's being forked. And when the process creates a new file, this new file's metadata, content, and file directory entry will be added to the output set. Later on, when the echo process exits, we remove it from the output set because it's a transient and temporary object which doesn't have a permanent effect on the system state. As you expected, this command created a new file, so the output set just contains this file foo. Now I'm going to use an example to illustrate how our approach can find predicates. So this is a trace of a user troubleshooting a CVS repository not properly initialized problem. The user issues 3 commands to test, and then the middle one is how the user solved the problem. We're going to first look for repeated commands. And with these repeated commands, we're going to compare each execution's output feature. First, we'll look at the exit code. So the first execution, exit code is 1, and the second execution is 0. So the first output feature, exit codes differ. The second output feature is screen output. So the first execution, there's an error message saying no such file or directory. And the second execution, it only reports the progress. So the error message output feature differs for this this one. The last output feature we'll look at is the output set. The first execution, since the user couldn't import the test project, so the output set was empty. But after the user fixed a problem, the second execution, the output set contains the newly created file and directory. So the output sets differ. So now we know that we have a repeated commands which differ in 3 output features. So we're going to declare this is a predicate. I'm going to say the second execution means predicate succeeds, and the first execution means predicate fails. So this is a simpler scenario, which one command is sufficient to be a predicate. But in our design goal, one of them is to say we want to generate complete predicates, because there are scenarios where it includes multiple steps to test. So some predicate relies on some previous commands to be executed first to work correctly. So I'll show using an example. If we have two users, user 1 and user 2, who are both supposed to be in a group, in CVS group, but user 2 is not, and the initial state is CVS repository is empty. In this trace, the user first tried to execute as user 1 to import a test project. And then the second command is to try to check out as user 2, but then it would fail, and then solve the problem and try to execute again. Using our previous approach, we'll find the highlighted one to be the predicate. But this predicate actually only works because the first one, user 1, has imported a test project into the CVS repository. So we should include the precondition to be part of this predicate. The question is how? How do we find previous command that this predicate causally depends on? Our solution is to use the same output set concept. So following the previous example, if the user first echoed hi into a file to create this file, and in the output set we have this file foo in the output set. Later, when the user used cat to read the content of this file foo, this cat, because it reads the content, so now causally depends on this file foo. So we add this process cat into the output set. We're going to say that command cat causally depends on echo command because cat is in echo's output set. So using this causality, we're able to find candidate preconditions. That is, we're going to find all commands a predicate causally depends on. So if I put the previous commands into this timeline, and the yellow hexagons are the predicates, and the other two are the import and the add user to the CVS group. We're going to look at each command's output set. So when a user imported a new one, a new test project, it will modify the test project. And when the root user added a user to into a CVS group, it will modify Etsy group. So when we look at the output set, we'll find that the successful predicate depends on both of them. So this is good news and bad news for us. The good news is that we only try to find precondition, but we also find a solution within a user trace. The bad news is the precondition and the solution, they look, the causal relationship behavior look exactly the same. So how do we differentiate them? So we propose this heuristic to differentiate them based on their chronological order. So we say that all the commands, all the candidate commands that occur after the failed predicates and before the successful one are solution. Because these commands are those that transition the system from a not working to a working state. And the rest of the commands are preconditioned because the user will first get the precondition so that the predicate can work. So now that we are able to find not only precondition and solution, we look at the solution that we found from the traces, and we notice that some solutions are better than the other. So we're so used to that when we query online, the online search engine will return the results based on some ranking solution. So we're going to do the same thing for the solutions we found. We're going to rank solutions, and we're going to base on a solution which was used by more users are better than the solution that are used by fewer users. So let's look at the example. If the Apache have, if the configuration problem is that Apache process does not have search permission for a user's home directory, and three different users solve using three different commands. But when we look closer, we notice that even though the second and third commands look different, but they actually do the same thing. So these two solutions should be, this solution should be ranked higher than the other one. So how do we capture that the different commands doing the same thing? We solve this by grouping solutions using state delta. State delta is a difference in system state that caused by the execution of a command. So we track state delta first by tracking the output set. And within the output set, we iterate through each kernel object and compute the diff. For example, for file metadata, we look at the attribute and see what's changed. For example, the permission going from 700 to 755. And for file content, the diff is basically a diff. So after looking at the state delta, we can group the second or third solution into a group with size 2 and the second solution with only size 1. And we'll rank the solution with 2 higher than the other one. Now in the evaluation, we'd like to answer two questions. The first one is, how well can we generate predicates from user traces? Second is, how well can we rank all the solutions? Our methodology includes, first, we conducted a user study and we collect traces of few real users troubleshooting misconfigurations. Then we generate predicate and solution from these traces following the heuristics that we described earlier. Finally, we manually verify the correctness of each predicate we generated. So the user study procedure involved that we recruited 12 participants, including graduate students and system administrators from the University of Michigan. We gave each participant 4 configuration problems, 2 CVS and 2 Apache. So when I say a trace, means that a user solving one configuration problem. That's one user trace. So for each trace, we collected all the commands the user typed to solve the problem. And we also collect the output feature for each command, including exit code, the screen output, and output sets. To look at a summary of our predicate result, so I listed all of each of the configuration problem. And the first row is number of correct predicates we generated. The middle row is number of wrong predicates we generated. And the last row is total number of traces for that problem. So we verify that all the correct predicates, and if they include multiple steps, we include all the steps. If you look at the middle row, you'll find that we have very few wrong predicates, which is also the few false positive and meets our design goal. And now I'm going to talk about where the false positive come from. And also, you might be curious, so within 10 or 11 traces, how come we only generate predicates for half of the traces? So why are some of them we don't generate predicates? I'm going to use one specific example to illustrate. So here the configuration problem is the Apache process not having search permission. And the solution is very straightforward. You just give Apache process the search permission. So for 3 traces, we did not generate predicates because the user did not use repeated commands. Because we try to minimize false positive, so we're more conservative, we compare also the current directory and user ID for each command. Since the user executed in different directories, so we count those commands as different. And for 2 traces, we did not generate predicates because the user did not solve the problem. So even if the commands was repeated, but because there's not enough output feature that differed to support that this command was used as a predicate. And only 1 trace, we generate incorrect predicate. So this trace, the predicate was that the user opened a configuration file using an editor. And the 2 output features that differ is because in the file, it contains an error message. So when the user browsed that part of the configuration file, there's an error message on the screen. And the second output feature that differ is the output sets. Because in one execution, the user only read the file. And the other execution, the user actually changed the file. But this user actually did not fix a problem. So if we have asked just one more question, if the problem was solved or not, then we could easily eliminate this incorrect predicate. So here's the result for the solution ranking results. So the top 4 is as we expected. The user changed the permission in some way. And the highest ranking one is the one just give enough permission. And the last solution kind of puzzled us. So I looked into it and found that in this case, because the predicate generated was Apache stop, Apache would not stop if there's a configuration error in the file. So because the user has introduced some error into the file, so the Apache refused to stop, and that becomes our predicate. So the solution for this user-introduced error was by user fixing that problem. So even though this was not the intended solution we wanted to, but we are able to find the problem the user introduced and find the predicate and solution for that case. In this talk, I only concentrated on command line interface. This is what our current work is. In future work, we'd like to extend this work to handle GUI applications. There are some challenges in GUI applications. For example, in command line interface, each command maps very nicely to like a task. But in GUI application, we have to first identify what we mean by individual task. And after we're finding individual tasks, we have to know what do we mean repeated tasks. So, and also, like Xcode doesn't map nicely to each task. So these are the challenges we have to conquer. But there's also some advantages to GUI applications because they might provide more semantic information. For example, an error message pop-up most likely means that there is some error in the there's some error that's happened. To conclude, we propose a method that can automatically generate predicates and solutions from traces of user troubleshooting misconfigurations. Our approach minimizes false positive and is unobtrusive to the users and can generate complete predicates. Thank you.
Questions?
So I've been involved with open source systems, and often when users don't really know what the problem is, they will change a hell of a lot before they again change whether it's working or not. And maybe the aggregate changes make it work or make it seem work. Maybe one of these changes in that huge Apache file made it work. So how can you actually pinpoint exactly what is going on? Okay, if you have separate change mod operations and the user checks all the time whether it's working or not, then it's all right. But if you have a big configuration file and he changes, I don't know, 20 lines, which are spread all over the file, and suddenly it works, how can you find what was actually the right thing and maybe what was the wrong thing to do?
So that's a good question. In our the granularity we track the causality, it's on, for example, if the user actually changes the file and all the within the 20 lines of change, only one line actually fixes a problem. But because the granularity in the file is a kernel object level, so we're going to only tell that editing this file solves the problem. So that's basically that's the granularity we're working on now.
So you did a nice job of demonstrating that lots of different solutions to a single problem could generate predicates. But I was curious if you had any experience using one person's predicate to solve another person's problem. So somebody solved a CVS configuration error, but now I have a CVS configuration error, and is that person's predicate really going to be easily used by me to solve my problem?
So we did try to canonicalize the solutions that one user generates so that it can be applicable to another user. In our previous work, we tried to do that by having solutions that kind of generate by one user to be used, apply on the other one. And that's why the motivation for this work comes from.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions?